This is Brian Alvarez of WrestlingObserver.com. Join me and my buddy Mike Sempervivi for Wrestling Observer Live, the best pro wrestling and mixed martial arts coverage you'll hear anywhere, every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We have tons of stuff to talk about today. WrestleMania. During this show, we're going to take your WrestleMania predictions. What do you think is going to happen on the biggest show of the year? Take your emails, perhaps your phone calls as well. That will be largely the theme of today's show, although we have a bunch of news as well. Fight Night in Seattle. I was there live. Actually, a pretty great show. Maybe not as great for those of you that watch it on television, but some awesome undercard fights, some awesome fights on Facebook. We'll talk about all of that. Plus, the news in professional wrestling as well, including Michael Cole saying some really stupid stuff on Twitter, which not only ended up on Twitter, but since Twitter can pretty much be read by anybody worldwide, it ended up getting picked up by TMZ, and they're probably going to be doing even more stories on it in the next couple of days. So this is a big one. We'll tell you what he said, what he was forced to do, and where this could lead. Not to mention the debut of Sin Cara in WWE. We'll give you the early reports from his matches on the house show circuit. Big fight signed for UFC in July, the main event of the show. Uriah Faber returns to the ring for a championship match. We'll tell you about that. Kurt Angle was arrested again. We'll tell you what happened there. Very soon, the debuts of both Ultimate Fighter and Tough Enough. Steve Austin has talked about how the Tough Enough show is going to be structured. We'll tell you how people get eliminated. All that kind of good stuff. Chris Jericho on Dancing with the Stars. Give you an update on the NCAA tournament. Mike Sempervive is going to have the full rundown of that tourney. Talk about Snooki getting drunk for a WWE shoot. She thinks she's going to be a future WWE diva, and this was how she showed up for her first major WWE angle outside of her Raw debut. Plus, Jon Jones on The Tonight Show. Rock returns to Raw tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about that and much, much more. All coming up in a matter of moments. It's going to be a good show today. 2 more hours of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, so check it out. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And as noted a couple of weeks ago, we are now up on Facebook. Follow us there at Wrestling Observer Live. It is the official page. Got 800 followers after our shout-out about a week ago, so join up. Check it out. We have a lot of shows up there. We have a lot of extra little bonuses as well. You can always check it out for the latest news. And, of course, WrestlingObserver.com, our main website as well. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com, Wrestling Observer Live on Facebook. And, Mike, last night, UFC in Seattle. I haven't watched on television yet, but how did it come across on TV?
I thought it came across really good. Now, it seems to be a little bit of a split reaction towards it. And I guess I could see that coming a little bit because just being on Twitter during the Garcia-Korean Zombie fight, you know, there were people that no matter what they say, you know, expected the first fight more, like it would have never stopped and it just kept going on. So, you know, they were kind of upset about that early on, which, you know, probably didn't forbade, you know, well for the UFC for the rest of the night as far as those people's opinions goes, because they weren't going to change them, because I thought that was a great first round, even though, yeah, it wasn't like their first fight, but my God, what actually could be? They set the bar a little bit high right there, but I thought as the rest of the night went on, I thought the show was actually really, really good. Again, Phil Davis's win is huge for them, coming off John Jones's win, and you know, some really good stuff on there, some exciting stuff, even though, well, there was Anthony Johnson, but I guess we'll get to that.
The show was great live. The early part of the show was actually a lot better than the stuff that you guys saw on television. And as far as anybody that was upset about the Korean Zombie, that fight with Leonard Garcia, I don't know what's wrong with you. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Anybody who thought about this for about 10 seconds knew there's no way this fight was going to be as good as the first fight. It just couldn't be. I mean, anybody who saw the second Forrest Griffin fight, I mean, quite frankly, the Korean Zombie fight last night was great. That was a great fight by the end. And in some ways, if you wanted to argue that last night's fight was better than the first fight, I would be fine with that. Because the first fight was two guys who went out there, all offense, no defense. And if that's what you want to see in a fight, like no real technique, just both guys throwing haymakers like you'd see in a bar.
The fried Takayama people.
Exactly. If that's what you think is a great fight, then that's wonderful. I'm glad that you love that fight. If you're somebody that, as a martial artist or a fan of the martial arts, you're looking for technique in your fights and guys using a strategy and having a chess match, then last night's fight was way better. And quite frankly, last night's fight was much better than I expected it to be. And simply put, when you have a wild fight the first time, one of the guys, or both of the guys, is almost always going to come in the second time, and they're going to fight a smarter fight. You know, the Fry Takayama fights can be a lot of fun to watch, but they do a lot of damage to people, and people get beat up really bad, and it's no fun for the fighters. And nine times out of ten, the fighters in a rematch of a fight like that are going to come in, and Forrest Griffin did it. Forrest Griffin learned how to box. He learned how to have great stand-up technique between the first fight and the second fight. And he went in there and he outclassed Stephen Bonner. And what happened here to me was Leonard Garcia came out there trying to have the same fight they had the first time, and the Korean Zombie came out there and thought, I'm going to have a fight with this guy, and I'm gonna pace myself, and I'm gonna try to have good technique on my stand up, and if it goes to the ground, I'm gonna go after him, and that's what he did. And he won with a twister. He won with a twister here on a UFC event, the first time in over 1,000 fights that anybody has ever submitted somebody. It's basically an abdominal stretch, believe it or not. And he tapped him out with 1 second left in the second round. So it sucks to be Leonard Garcia, but I really, really enjoyed that fight. And believe it or not, that was not even the best fight on the show. There was a fight on the undercard, which actually won Fight of the Night. They were $55,000 bonuses for the show this evening. And Michael McDonald and Edwin Figueroa. I'm never good with these names, but they had an awesome fight. We'll just call them Edwin and Michael. Great fight. Man, this was a great fight. The second round, in fact, was by far the best round of any fight on this show, and one of the best rounds in quite a while, actually. There are a lot of great UFC fights, so I can't say, like, the best round of the year or anything like that. I don't know, but it was an exceptionally great round, just great grappling, great submission attempts, great reversals, great on the feet. It was just an awesome round. And ended up 30-27 for McDonald. And they got Fight of the Night. They deserved it. And, of course, the Korean Zombie got submission of the night for his tap out of Leonard Garcia with the twister. And
is it possible to not tap out to that move? Because that is one of the more painful-looking, like, that is a nasty-looking move. When as jacked as his head was, I mean, well, I want to also think about the fight, too. They couldn't do it again right away, but, man, if you're ever in need in a fight, it's like Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward. Just throw those two out on any show if you need a little bit. Like, say you have Frankie Edgar defending his title against someone. Oh, is it going to draw? Is it going to be exciting? Just have the Korean Zombie and Leonard Garcia bust through the wall like the Kool-Aid Man as soon as the show starts. And you're guaranteed to make everybody happy there.
Yeah, this fight is pretty much guaranteed to be a pay-per-view semi-main event at some point down the road. It's just too good not to. So, it was awesome. I really enjoyed that. And as far as, like, the main card, the zombie fight we talked about, the main event of the show was Antonio Rogério Nogueira doing a great job in the first round against Phil Davis, avoiding every single takedown attempt, which was astounding, actually. And then the second round, he got tired. Phil Davis took him down, grounded out a decision victory. It did no favors for anybody. Nogueira didn't look good, and so Phil Davis, in beating him via decision, didn't look good. This was not fun. I mean, it was all right, but, you know, compared to some of the stuff earlier on in the show, not a great match.
No, it's still really good, though, for the UFC. I mean, look at Nogueira's last, you know, two or three fights now. Nothing against Nogueira or anything like that. I mean, he's still beating a lot of guys, but for the UFC's sake, you know, with John Jones winning and, you know, having his fans and getting the influx from the WEC, I mean, it's, you know, well-spoken, you know, good-looking guy, great pedigree because of, you know, Penn State and being an NCAA champion there. I mean, again, a good package who, I mean, look at the submission win with the Kimura in his last fight. He's already used an anaconda choke to finish a guy. I mean, he's got charisma. It's good for the UFC, even though it wasn't the greatest fight in the world. I mean, realistically, if you're going to have a fight like that, that's kind of what fight night's for.
Semi-main, Dan Hardy and Anthony Johnson. Johnson cut a ridiculous amount of weight, nearly 50 pounds to make this fight. And, of course, the question was, is he going to gas out from having to cut so much weight? Answer was no, although he just largely destroyed Dan Hardy throughout this fight. Hardy is a tough guy. He's a hardy guy, so to speak. He was put in one submission after another on this show, much like the George St. Pierre fight. And some of these submissions, I have absolutely no idea how this guy survived and got out. And you talk about painful submissions, the twister. There was a head and arm choke here. There was a cranking side headlock. I mean, Hardy just stuck around and survived, and he lost 30-27 were the scores. And he was on the fence. I mean, he was fighting like if he lost his fight, he was afraid he would be cut. Dana White afterwards said that he loved Dan Hardy. Dan Hardy always brought it. I don't think he's going to be cut after this fight. I don't want to say competitive, but I thought it was pretty exciting. The fans absolutely hated it. You know, they wanted both guys to stand and bang. And, you know, Johnson had pretty much promised to do so and then revealed later that he had lied. Winning is more important than telling the truth, I believe he said. But regardless, he won the fight. So, you know, when you're training, you gotta prepare for everything. You know, don't trust this guy when he says he's going to stand with you. You know, maybe he's going to take you down. So anyway, I thought it was a dominating performance, especially the third round. I thought you could have even given the third round to Johnson 10-8. He just worked this guy over. So, fun times there at the end, except for Dan Hardy.
Don't think there's any way Hardy gets cut, and I swear Anthony Johnson's going to kill someone. He almost killed you. I thought he looked like he killed Yoshida, and if Hardy wasn't such a tough guy, I mean, and he didn't take him down so much, I mean, he just comes down and rehydrates to a scary degree.
We're going to head to a break here in just a moment, but very quickly before we go, DeMarcus Johnson, Amir Saadallah. DeMarcus took it at the last minute, looked good in the first round, and then got tired. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break, plus the rest of the show, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We were talking the UFC Fight Night show and the Amir Saadallah fight. Amir, I don't want to say he had it rough in the first round, but certainly it was a fight there in that first round. Second round, DeMarcus Johnson started to get tired, and Saadallah took over on him, ended up wrapping his arm around his head and just laying a beating on him. And that was it. So Amir, you know, he's a solid fighter. He went into Ultimate Fighter with a 0-0 record, won the entire season, and still going strong here in UFC. So I guess we'll see how things go, but certainly looked all right in the second round here.
Yeah, you know, he keeps on keeping on there. I know he had the loss to Stun Gun, and I was there to see him get laid to waste by Johnny Hendricks in his second, you know, big fight in the UFC. But, I mean, he's chugging along at a good pace. My thing is, why does he always get the commercials?
I don't know.
He even talked about how good he's a good-looking guy after the fight. How does he keep getting the commercials?
I don't know. He does a lot of that stuff for Spike, and I'm not saying he's not a charismatic guy, but he's certainly not the most charismatic guy I've ever seen in UFC, so I don't know. Can't answer that question for you. Speaking of commercials, I presume you saw the awesome Jake Shields GSP commercial.
That's two in a row for GSP. I mean, the Koscheck one was absolutely fantastic, where they were ripping down the faces and the names of the guys they had beaten. But, I mean, that commercial is Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And hopefully they do more. I mean, God knows GSP doesn't need this. Shields does. But hopefully they do it for fights like, I mean, like an Edgar Maynard 3 or something like that, where maybe there's not the interest of the natural interest of a GSP or a Lesnar or somebody like that, and do it for those. I mean, those are little pieces of art. It's the one thing HBO has been able to do so well with 24/7, and that UFC has started to do with the countdown shows, but that was awesome, awesome stuff.
How do you expect that show to do on pay-per-view?
What, GSP and Shields?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have enough guts yet to say pushing a million, but, you know, it's going to be way up there. You know, the attendance, obviously, and all of this matters more. And if this thing's even slightly disappointing from a pay-per-view numbers-wise, I mean, it doesn't matter, even though people will try to point that out and criticize it. But I'm saying close to a million buys, honestly. I really am. I think GSP is worth that much.
I think it's too early to tell, but this is the biggest UFC of all time in terms of it's destroyed their previous gate record by almost double. I mean, this is an $11 million gate. They've sold 55,000 tickets, which almost triples their record. It more than doubles it. And it's hard to say. Like, sometimes an event gets so big that it just becomes gigantic in the sense that, you know, normally if it were GSP Shields at the MGM Grand, you had 18,000 tickets sold, and it was your big pay-per-view of the month, then I'd be thinking, okay, 770,000 buys, somewhere around there. But when it becomes such a gigantic event, and all of a sudden, it's kind of like UFC 100, you know what I mean? When UFC 100 came along, UFC thought nothing of that number. It was just the 100th UFC. It was not it was UFC 100, but they didn't see it as like this big, giant, massive event. The fans made it what it was. Ended up doing 1.7 million buys, the biggest buy rate of all time for UFC. And, you know, that was the fans turning this into something that it had not been. And I don't know what people are going to make of this as the show draws nearer. And, you know, there's not a UFC event every weekend leading into it. And there's Ultimate Fighter, you know, promoting it every single week on television. The biggest gate, the biggest attendance, the commercial for GSP Shields. I'm thinking it's going to do 1.2 million buys.
It's going to be, like I said, I think it's going to be around a million. I mean, well, and think about that show, though, in July last year. And granted, it almost became like a WrestleMania thing for UFC 100. Or 2 years ago, that had Brock and GSP on it, too. I mean, that was just, everything was just kind of perfect there. And the thing is, they haven't even though MMA fans know this and people listening to the show would know this, the general public still is not aware, you know, or the general sports public is probably not aware. They're distracted right now and remembering that fight's coming up. When they kick this thing into gear, you know, because I have a feeling the ESPN blitz and all that stuff's going to happen where, you know, and that, by the way, that was a big difference with Newark, too. You know, there was a lot of ESPN coverage last year going into that show and making a big deal out of them, you know, circling New York and all that stuff, and Brock Lesnar, you know, coming back from diverticulitis. And there was a lot of, you know, blitz behind that, too, which when you try to compare the numbers of the Newark show that just passed and that one, you really can't do it because it's actually pretty unfair because they didn't get anywhere near the push that they should have.
We've also got a main event for the July show in Vegas. It is going to be a rematch of a fight that happened many years ago. Uriah Faber is going to be facing Dominick Cruz for Cruz's 135-pound title. And Cruz choked him out. Faber choked Cruz out very, very quickly in their first fight. Cruz has been very unhappy ever since, especially since the promotional poster for that fight didn't have Cruz's name and picture on it. He was so mad that it didn't have his picture on it. And did you hear the story?
Oh, yeah. The stories where he was actually, when people had to have him sign it, he was putting a big X over Uriah's face.
Yes. Yeah. So that's wacky. But regardless, now they're going to fight again, and what do you think about that fight?
Oh, I mean, it's great that it happens again. I mean, it's, you know, two of the more, obviously, with favor, you know, marketable guys you can have, and you want to, it's just, look, Faber is, obviously, people think that he's, you know, lost steps. I think he's going to win this fight again, you know, but Cruz is dangerous, got a nasty style. So, I mean, it's a good fight for them to make. I didn't believe that it wasn't, you know, Faber wouldn't be fighting again until after the Ultimate Fighter, even though Dana White came out and said no, that, you know, he wasn't going to be one of the coaches. I didn't believe it until, you know, I actually had made it official, and by making this fight, they made it official that won't be coaching on the Ultimate Fighter, but, you know, why not? It's, again, it depends on, you know, what else is going to be on this show, because it looks like it's going to be a series of rematches, so, you know, when you have that, and you have Belfort and Wanderlei way too many years late, and you have Fitch and Penn on there again, I mean, it's just, it makes for a good themed card.
A night of rematches.
Been done in boxing a zillion times. Don King loved doing this, so why not do it again? Plus, you got Ortiz and Bader, because that's been, you know, that was put off from February or March, whenever that was supposed to be scheduled. So, you know, again, there's it's good enough to have some eyeballs on it and some interest, because there's a lot of shows that are obviously every month for that pay-per-view dollar. The UFC asks you to get it, so, I mean, even though it's kind of corny the way everything falls, why not have a night of rematches?
I think you are one of the rare people who actually thinks that Faber is going to win this fight. Not that you're wrong or anything like that, but most people expect Cruz to beat him.
Oh, yeah, they expect him to beat him like a drum, too. I still believe in Faber's wrestling too much. And again, I mean, he can't get tagged like he did against Wineland. I mean, that's one thing he cannot do. He is going to have to get the thing to the ground fast, because if he gets tagged like he did against Wineland, he's probably going to be staggered enough to eat a whole lot more.
That's coming up in July, and I don't know about Bader and Tito. I expect that to be a whooping on the part of Bader.
Oh, Bader's going to grind him into the ground, but, you know, now it's almost like the thing of waiting on when it's going to happen for Ortiz, where you are going to see his last fight.
Tito would have been better off facing Nogueira.
Yeah, actually.
He probably could have beaten last night's Nogueira.
The way it's been going for Nogueira, I would not have doubted that. I mean, he would have been probably a close, you know, boring fight. Not even a boring fight, but just not a whole lot of action fight. But, yeah, he probably would have. But, no, I mean, Bader is going to, I think, yeah, just kind of grind Ortiz into dust.
We're going to get into the WrestleMania predictions when we come back from the break. But we got a couple of minutes here. So, Mike, give us a quick rundown of the NCAA tournament this year.
Yeah, you know, it took place last week, and I had a chance to basically watch almost every single match from all successions from the last week, Thursday to Saturday, the same weekend as the UFC. And the biggest thing coming out of it, Penn State, Cale Sanderson, who went undefeated at Iowa State, is only his second year taking Penn State to the team national championship, which was, you know, it's just, he's absolutely amazing. Dude's only 31 years old. Undefeated, won the Olympic gold medal, has been coaching this, you know, went to coach, I'm trying to think of the last school he was at. I think it may have actually been Iowa State. He went to coach them, took them to the NCAA championships, all four times, took his entire team there every year. Now he's won this, and he's actually wrestling freestyle right now, and is going to, I think, go out for the national freestyle team. The guy never stops. It's absolutely amazing. But the biggest story is that everybody probably already knows, Anthony Robles from Arizona State, who was born without a right leg, finished the season undefeated at 125 pounds and became the NCAA champion, won the MVP basically of the tournament, and just an absolutely amazing story. Was getting a lot of press attention all last week, and he's now, being a senior, he's going to be leaving, and instead of going to go after international competition like a couple of the other guys are in this, he's actually going to go out on the inspirational speaking circuit. So good for him on that one. And he's probably going to be the most known college wrestler, at least for a little while. Bubba Jenkins from Arizona State scored a big upset over David Taylor from Penn State at 157 and announced afterwards, a little while afterwards, being a senior, he's actually going to get into MMA, which would be a great idea for him. Jordan Burroughs winning at 165 from Nebraska, and I'm trying to think of the other senior. It was Dustin Kilgore from Kent State, who's been one of the best wrestlers actually since Nick Nemeth was there. is also going to, they're both seniors. They're both actually going into international competition after this. So it's a good weekend. It's always actually great to see that tournament every single year, and it's too bad it's the only time ESPN pays attention to it.
Back after the break, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates. We have rundowns of all of the major shows, TV reviews, and radio shows. If you love this program, and this is the only chance every week you get to listen to it, you are missing out. We do shows every single day. In fact, this past Wednesday, I did 3 shows in one day. So if you've got a commute, if you listen to stuff at work, if you listen to stuff at the gym, if you love pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and you'd love to hear radio content every single day, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. It's only $10.99 per month to sign up. And for that price, you not only get all of the brand new shows we do, and between all of our different radio show hosts, we do between 15 and 20 brand new shows every single week. But every single show we've ever done in our history is available in the archives for subscribers. There's no extra fee. If you pay your $10.99, you have full access to everything. That means you can go back and listen to shows from 2006, 2007, interviews we have done with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Steve Austin has been on the show. Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho. It was on just a couple of weeks ago, in fact. Bryan Danielson has been on the show. The list goes on and on. All available at WrestlingObserver.com. And you can also join our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com. Check out Wrestling Observer Live. Sign up and enjoy the fun. Mike, WrestleMania is coming up. And before we get into the predictions here, and we've got quite a few of them, Michael Cole did something really stupid yesterday. He went on Twitter and sent a tweet to young Josh Matthews in which he called him a name that rhymes with Bob Saget. And it's all he wrote, just that one word. And shortly thereafter, he pulled it down, he apologized, he said he didn't mean what it sounded like he meant, whatever that means. And anyway, TMZ picked it up. Somebody got a screenshot before he pulled it down, sent it to TMZ. TMZ ran with it. They're now going to cover it on their television show. And suffice to say, probably not good news for young Michael Cole, although since he's in the biggest match on WrestleMania for a lot of people, at least the most hyped match, I would guess that there will be few public repercussions. I can't imagine them firing him, pulling him from the show, or anything like that. But coming just a couple of weeks after John Cena made some comments and glad crackdown and WWE had to issue an apology, this was a really stupid thing for Michael Cole to do.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you and Dave both put back issues of the newsletters up on the site for subscribers to access at any time that they want, because I have to go back and find out for sure if WWE ever gave back that gravy boat that Glad got for them for the Billy and Chuck wedding. Did they ever actually give that back, or did they hold on to it? Because that should be something else that they're upset about.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
This is, we make fun of wrestlers being drunk or doing stupid things on Twitter or something like that, but just, I mean, of all people, Michael Cole to do it, it's just, I don't know, it's just, how, I don't know, just incredible. How could that, it doesn't matter how you intend to, because it is, look, thrown around in locker rooms and amongst people all the time who are desensitized to the fact that, or they become desensitized to what, how hurtful the word is to a lot of people. And they throw it around in, you know, especially in sports settings, you hear it all the time in locker rooms and stuff like that. So even with that said, though, you're putting it up for millions that anybody can see that at any time that they want. So, I mean, I just, the stupidity around it, for a public figure to do that for a publicly traded corporation who was just in the mix with Glad because of John Cena's inferences during his promos that Glad was upset about. I mean, just coming a week or whatever it is after that, just, it's so stupid on so many levels. And again, you know, I would not expect Michael Cole to fall into the Matt Hardy category for me of people that, you know what, stay away from the Twitter and the Facebook and all those things.
As we just plugged ours.
Well, that you should actually come do. That's different.
I don't ever write anything that stupid on my Facebook page. My Facebook page involves a lot of pictures of my cats. By the way, Facebook.com/Brian Alvarez if you... And Twitter.com/Brian Alvarez if you want my ramblings on pretty much nothing, actually. But you can still go up there. But yes, so that's been pulled, and I guess we'll find out what happens tomorrow. But that is so far the most heavily hyped match on WrestleMania. Although, on Raw, The Rock returns on Monday night, and we're getting some sort of big angle involving Rock, Miz, and John Cena. And Mike, if I had to put a gun to your head, what is the big angle going to be tomorrow?
Let's see. The Miz is able to escape, look good on The Rock somehow, and The Rock bottoms John Cena, and that's how we go into WrestleMania.
So Rock actually beats up John Cena.
It's tough. Well, see, he's scheduled to be there afterwards, though, right? I still can't get myself into the belief that he could be wrestling a match at SummerSlam. That's what's tough for me. So it's like, at some point, Cena, I mean, the Miz has to, I guess he's got one over on The Rock. I figure if there's going to be anything happening in The Miz, that would happen at WrestleMania. So, but does Cena look even weaker going into WrestleMania by The Rock doing something to him? No. So Cena should probably do, I guess, something to The Rock then, and I don't know, maybe that could be the way it would work, depending on what he wants to do afterwards. Not that I don't want to see him back to even wrestle one match. I would love for that to happen. It's hard for me to fathom, with his career and everything else, that he would take the risk to, or that even he's going to stay that involved. Because it's hard for me to believe they can plan out that long, too.
Well, one thing that should be noted is that Rock has signed to do a new film, which I believe starts shooting in June, which would most likely put him out of the running for SummerSlam. It's not certain. It depends on his shooting schedule. But, you know, if he's in the lead role and it's a typical 3-month shoot, that would put him out of SummerSlam. But none of that is confirmed right now. I'm sure they're working on different things with his schedule. But tomorrow, for the big angle, I just think you've got to do something, and this is just throwing out an idea. I'm sure there are a million ideas that are better, but I think you've got to do something where maybe you've got all three guys in the ring, and they're all cutting promos on each other, and you build up some sort of tension, and maybe Rock turns his back to look at the crowd or something. Miz shoves Cena into Rock. Rock turns around, and then you immediately have a million police officers in the ring to keep Cena and Rock from touching each other. I think they can't touch each other before WrestleMania. I think that's got to be the entire key there. And Miz can be responsible for causing the trouble because he's a heel, whatever the deal is, and you build up this tension, and you know, hopefully they've got a payoff of some sort at WrestleMania. I mean, you know, it's a very interesting situation right now with people so badly wanting to see those two guys fight, and that's not the match at WrestleMania. But since you've already made that bed, you've got to sleep in it. So that's kind of the way that I would do it. Get like, you need that out of control Steve Austin, Mike Tyson type of vibe leading into WrestleMania with all the police officers or the security or whatever, just not letting these guys touch and say, my God, Sunday, they're going to be in the ring together. And I guess we'll see what they do tomorrow.
See, I would be more apt to use the police work and use that Steve Austin bit with Steve Austin, with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler tomorrow night.
You could do that as well.
You just had the police working overtime, absolutely. Have
sure.
Alberto Del Rio try to run down someone in the car.
Have all of them in the ring. No.
And Brodus, as long as Brodus is there, too.
I do like Brodus Clay. Let's look at some of these. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, there's one time where, you know, it's okay to be unique looking.
Well, yeah, he is definitely unique looking, and I really like Brodus Clay. We've got a bunch of Mania predictions here, so let's jump into it. Leon here says, short and to the point, somehow Rock leaves Mania as WWE champion. Suffice to say, Leon is not the only person who has made this prediction.
Wow.
In fact, let's look at the second one here. This is from Revan. Rock wins the title from Miz after Miz retains against Cena, thus pulling out the WrestleMania 9 Bret Yoko Hogan finish, and Rock either forfeits or drops to the next night on Raw in a quick match with lots of interference.
Hey, you know, I keep saying that thing over and over about being really worried this year about that Monday night hangover when people realize that Undertaker is not going to be wrestling a whole series here, and Triple H won't be a lot of him. The Rock will be going home. Shawn Michaels won't be around. Steve Austin won't be around except on Tough Enough and all of those things. There's one of the reasons why. There are a lot of people that were, you could have turned Rock actually into a heel with this, with the whole via satellite thing, if they were savvy enough to do it in a way, if they wanted to protect John Cena that much. You know, they could have done something that way and actually made the Miz and the Rock a little closer together. And there's why, but those people that thought when he said he was going to be back for good, he's not. Having going out with the title, what does that do except he loses on Monday? I don't think that does anything.
Tommy here. GM dings after Cena versus Miz and impromptu Rock versus Cena for the belt. Rock walks away champ.
I
Marco.
You know what? But the thing is, I don't know when that match is going to take place. I guess if it takes place around like 9:45, which would give everybody enough time to get the video out to all the extras and the, you know, KNBCs and places like that, I guess. Yeah, you could do that, and it would be a big deal, and you could have the Rock there, but it's then how do you give it up Monday? And I don't know. It would just, obviously, hey, look, they're not a wrestling company. They are an entertainment company that puts on entertainments. So, with that being said, they could do that and have just that one-day moment to get it out to the media, but I just, that, well, again, they're entertainments.
Marco here. Wouldn't be shocked if WWE is giving Rock the title in the end. Whoever walks out victorious between Miz and Cena. Although, he does make a very good point here. If Triple H Taker does headline, goes on last, as reported for weeks, a possible Rock win would have the same effect as Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18 or Michaels Taker at WrestleMania 25 for the main event. A dead crowd. That is true. If they put the title on Rock and decide that Undertaker and Triple H is going to try and follow that, that's going to be a disaster. So that does speak to the possibility that... I don't know.
Rock Hogan in Toronto, when they did that, that was one of those things that could not have been any more perfect for the time. I don't think it would take away that much.
I do... Wait a second. You think that Hunter and Taker would be able to successfully follow Rock winning the title this Sunday?
If they're going to do that, they would have to do it. I mean, there would be more stuff in the middle. I think there would be significant stuff in the middle. If they were actually going to do something like that, it would be early enough on, obviously, to get it out for that night, but also just because of that reason. I mean, if it's going to go on last, I mean, I don't think you care what you know, after Rock, what would happen to Alberto Del Rio and Edge. You're not going to care about whatever else is in the middle, you know, that much, but I think they would have enough there to protect Triple H and The Undertaker. And I think Triple H, and you know what, I have enough faith in Triple H and The Undertaker to actually deliver with it, too. Just because it won't be the biggest news story coming out of it, I don't think they would be playing to a dead crowd. I really don't.
So you think that they would do a Rock title change, like, earlier in the evening and have several buffers before Undertaker and Triple H?
Yeah, they would sacrifice something. But, yeah, I mean, they would absolutely. Somebody's getting sacrificed. Sheamus, Bryan, you'd have the sixth person. You know, that's going to take place was probably going to be one of those buffer matches later on in the show. You sacrifice Edge and Del Rio, obviously.
Actually, let's talk about this more when we come back from the break. I actually asked you right before we headed up to the break. So we'll be back in just a moment with more on this. Lots to talk about. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We were talking about the possibility of Rock walking away with the title at WrestleMania. One thing I should note here is that, given the number of people that are predicting this, I'm thinking there might be a lot of people let down after WrestleMania on Sunday. And we were talking about the match placement, and I strongly disagree with your statement earlier that the idea that if you're going to put the title on Rock, it has to be the final thing on the show. I mean, I just can't imagine them putting it anywhere else on the show.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true, and they would have probably already made that decision by now if that was going to be the case. But, you know, obviously, you know, Edge Del Rio was supposed to be the main event. Now it's Triple H and Undertaker will be the main event, and that's fine. But if they had a plan for Rock, I'm sure, again, unless you, not that you open the show with it, you don't do that, but, I mean, you got 8 matches. It's like it'd be Mysterio and Rhodes to open it up or something like that. You have the 6th person between, you know, Edge and Del Rio and Triple H, Undertaker. You know, I don't know, but you got Lawler and Cole. I it's hard to fathom. I know there's people out there that really want it, and it would be shocking, and it would get the most attention and all of that stuff. But it ain't happening.
What if he wins the title on Raw, and they put it up at WrestleMania? Which, by the way, I think there's about 0% chance of that happening. But what if?
I don't know.
Too little, too late.
There's no way, because then you automatically add him into a three-way when you already have people. I think even the most lazy of wrestling fans would go, well, Christian just beat Del Rio twice. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That would be craziness.
We got a lot of WrestleMania predictions here. We're going to read more of them when we come back from the break. We've also got a lot of other news to get into, both pro wrestling and MMA news, including a TNA star arrested for sitting in a median in a running car while intoxicated. At least that's what they claim. So we'll talk about Kurt Angle's woes coming back from the break and a lot more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here every Sunday on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. We've been talking WrestleMania predictions on this show, and thus far, every prediction I have read so far, and quite frankly, they're not in order, so that's not really saying much, but every prediction that I have read so far has involved The Rock leaving WrestleMania as the champion. And quite frankly, I don't expect that to happen. I guess it's possible. But to me, the key to this is there are a lot of people with big expectations for WrestleMania, and they might be let down. And, Mike, what do you think about that? The idea that people go in, they expect a lot, they don't get what they're expecting, even though it was never really promised to them. You know, it's never been promised that Rock is going to even wrestle on the show. So is it fair, I guess, to ask to WWE for fans to expect something they're not promised and then get upset when it's not delivered? Because that happens all the time.
No, because that's one of those things. It was amazing. Like, and before this whole Rock thing really took off, you know, if you were looking, we all thought, okay, the WrestleMania buy rate's not going to be that good. There's not a whole lot of pizzazz going into this thing. It's WrestleMania this year. It's just WrestleMania. You know, obviously it's still a big deal, but, you know, that's how it looked on paper. Now with what's kind of happened with the mention of The Rock's name, yeah. I mean, it amped it up to an incredible degree, and realistically, I got to be honest, I don't think the buy rate's changed all that much with him being involved and with Undertaker and Triple H coming back. I'm glad they didn't go with career versus title, career versus streak, because that would have been a big, big mistake.
When we come back, more WrestleMania predictions. What are people expecting to happen at the biggest show of the year? Coming up next Sunday, I'm going to be there in Atlanta, Georgia for the show. Not sure what we're going to do as far as a radio program. We may have a replay, or Mike may help set something up. We'll try and figure it out. And we'll keep everybody updated on our official Facebook at facebook.com. Go to either Brian Alvarez or Wrestling Observer Live. So check it out. Back in just a moment, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. As noted before the break, I am heading to Atlanta, Georgia for WrestleMania this coming Sunday. And speaking of Atlanta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia resident and local business person Abdullah the Butcher is going into the WWE Hall of Fame, and WWE managed to create a video package for him that included no blood. I was amazed.
Yeah, you would figure it would just have been like, you know, just a one of those big red X's that they use when Ron Bass ripped open Dustin Rhodes, like, you know, when they have one of those big censored things, like maybe something like that. I didn't think that was even possible without just being interviews or something like that. And even then, that might have been a sketchy proposition too. But realistically, probably most people out there listening don't know that because they didn't go to the website and they have no idea Bob Armstrong and Abdullah the Butcher are going in.
And speaking of interviews, I did a nearly three-hour interview with Abdullah the Butcher. It is a video interview. It is a DVD. It includes the interview we did with Abdullah talking about his entire career from start to finish. And I toured Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food. All available at WrestlingObserverShoots.com. That's WrestlingObserverShoots.com. If you're interested, check it out. It's a really fun DVD. Abdullah is a crazy man. He's a wild man. And I interviewed him, asked him about all of the wild feuds and such during his career, and had some great ribs. So check it out at WrestlingObserverShoots.com. Let's do more of the WrestleMania predictions here, Mike, of which we have an abundance. This person here, Patrick, says, I cannot see WWE letting their biggest star, John Cena, get laid out by another babyface to a huge pop to close the biggest show of the year. If The Rock is going to work Cena at SummerSlam, which, by the way, is not guaranteed, then I predict they do a WrestleMania 9 finish and have Miz retained by a screw job, possibly involving Riley Cole Swagger. And if Rock make the save and clean house, Miz challenges Rock to an impromptu match. Cena runs off all of the run-in guys, and Rock beats Miz for the title. The show ends with Rock in the ring holding the title, Cena standing in the aisle staring a hole in him. That way Rock and Cena don't have to touch. Nobody would feel cheated. They would get their historic moment. Rock can vacate on Raw, pop a huge rating. It leaves Rock Cena open for down the road. That, by the way, is, I believe, our fifth straight prediction, all thinking Rock is leaving with the title.
You know what all these things in a row mean, too, for the most part? The Miz. Just getting pooped on, even though yeah, I think it was on what, Fallon or Conan this week. I think it was Jimmy Fallon that he was on, and again did a great job on there. I don't know what it is with them, and they have a guy in the Miz, and obviously no one thinks the Miz is all that tough or anything like that. But he, you know, from the media standpoint, considering they put on entertainments and it's not wrestling, you know, you'd figure that they would have done a better job, and they've tried to do a rush thing here of trying to make you believe that the Miz is, you know, a nasty prick, but he's just being overlooked in all of this and will be overlooked probably coming out of it too. And from how it sounds with what people want, him being just a huge afterthought in all of this, it's not good.
This person here, Sajid, says, Snooki pins Layla, Cody Rhodes pins Rey Mysterio, Lawler submits Cole with an ankle lock, followed by a stunner for Swagger and Cole. Randy Orton pins CM Punk. Sheamus pins Daniel Bryan, best match of the night. Undertaker pins Triple H. Alberto Del Rio submits Edge with the cross arm breaker. And The Miz pins Cena after distraction from Riley. Miz and Riley beat down Cena. Rock makes a save, helps Cena clean house. Cena celebrates with The Rock before turning heel and destroying The Rock from behind. So here's a person that does not think that Rock is going to leave with the title. Actually thinks Cena is going to turn heel on The Rock. What do you think about some of those predictions?
I just, you know, the thought of Cena turning heel, there's another one. It's hard for me to fathom. Doesn't make any sense. Would not make any sense. No one would buy it anyway. And again, then who is your number one babyface? Triple H? I mean, he would just have lost. No. Randy Orton? I guess, maybe, possibly, but again, there's where the roles would be reversed again. Randy Orton shouldn't be a good guy, shouldn't be a bad guy, should just be the guy to be scared of, and not the guy that also, by the way, chases out into the backstage and protects his wife and his tour bus. You know, again, not exactly what I would have done for Randy Orton leading into WrestleMania, but something about Randy Orton and wives, they really love doing stuff with that going into WrestleMania.
We've done a deal on the website. We've done a series of radio shows. We're doing them all next week as well. We do this every year. WrestleMania WWE Writers Week, where former WWE writers appear on the radio program and talk about different angles from years past and such. And we had Court Bauer on the show on Friday, and he mentioned that everything that you have predicted or I guess every idea you've come up with involving John Cena has been run by Vince McMahon, including John Cena turning heel. And Vince has at least considered all of these possibilities. Court said that Vince has been approached with the idea of turning John Cena heel, and Vince will say, "Let me think about this." And he will sit there, and he will think, and he will not say anything, and he will just think for like 4 straight minutes, and then all of a sudden he will just say, "Not going to do it." But it has been thought about before. So maybe they feel that now is the time. Who knows? I will not say it is impossible that John Cena turns heel. I just don't expect it for a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned, Mike. But it is certainly a possibility. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll turn somebody else. Maybe they'll do a big...
Are you maximizing what you could get out of it by doing it that way? Probably not.
No. But, I mean, you know, there are ideas that, people have brought up. I mean, maybe Cody Rhodes completely destroys Rey Mysterio and he's about to unmask him. And Alberto Del Rio makes a save. And Alberto Del Rio becomes a babyface. You know, you'd have to do some weird match orders to make that work here on this show. I mean, maybe if Alberto submitted Edge, you know, right before the intermission match, whatever you're going to call that, and then Ray went on next, and Alberto made the save, and Alberto ended up a big baby face, and he switched to Raw or something like that. I mean, you know, there are different ideas that you could do, but I don't know if I would expect such dramatic changes on WrestleMania next Sunday. But, you know, we shall see.
Sin Cara wins the title somehow.
Hey, Sin Cara debuted on the house shows this weekend. He had a match, at least, I know he had one match. I forget who I think he might have wrestled Primo on both shows. I just know one in particular he wrestled Primo, and it was said to be a really, really good match. People really got into him, and it was good stuff. So, you know, perfect opponent for him in Primo. You know, Primo can, you know, carry him through the match a U.S. style. And by carrying him, I just mean that, you know, Mystico is a great worker, but he's a luchador. And it's going to take a while for him to be able to work U.S. style. And getting in there with a guy, speak Spanish, can help him through the match. I mean, hopefully they do a bunch of matches on the road, like a lot of them, before Sin Cara gets shoved into the main mix. But so far, so good in early reviews for Sin Cara.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people that do see him, I mean, he's just, again, he's incredible to actually see in action because he moves so fast and he is so fluid. And it's just, he's so cool, you know, flying around there. And they've done everything right as far as the press conference goes, how he's been built up. Even the logo, as dumb as that sounds, but it's those little stupid things like that. Even the logo is good right now. So, I mean, again, that what happens if he turns into Ultimo Dragon or something like it once he gets there and is in the mix? I doubt that's going to happen for what's invested in him. But, you know, put him with guys for a long time that, you know, utilize those smaller guys that you hate utilizing. I mean, utilize Daniel Bryan. Utilize a lot of those guys that can make him look good and just don't hurt him because there's a lot of money, one, going into Mexico every year, and two, just for the merchandise you can sell, a bunch of kids' masks at Halloween and stuff like that. Again, Mysterio's not going to last forever. See if you can make this thing work without sabotage.
And he is using the La Mystica as his finisher. So
for now.
For now, yeah. But, I mean, the fact that he's using it on house shows, I think that's probably going to end up his finisher. I guess that could probably change, but...
Well, he can hit it on anybody at any time, too, no matter what their size is, so that's...
Well, as long as they're capable of spinning him around.
Well...
I would not trust him prying the Mystica on Mr. Anderson, for example. He'd end up in the fourth row.
This is true, but...
Chew on that during the break, Mike. Chew on that. We'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Before the break, we were talking about Mystico, or Sin Cara, attempting the La Mystica on Mr. Anderson, and what a disaster that could turn out to be. Mike, is there a worse feud on the earth right now than Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam?
There might be somewhere else on
TNA.
No,
it's impossible. There's no worse feud. That was not a trick question.
Well, yes, because you throw Sting in there, too. So, that, yes, there could be a worse feud because it's going to lead to an even worse match.
I swear to God, I don't think there's any match that could potentially be worse in TNA than Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam.
With Sting in a three-way?
No, I don't think so. Because there would at least be moments where Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam aren't working with each other.
Type of match where AJ Styles just walks out in the middle of it, picks up a microphone and goes, "This is the real Styles Clash. I'm going to rename my move," drops the mic and walks away.
This feud, Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam cannot work together to save their lives. And they had a horrible match on pay-per-view. And they proceeded to have horrible matches on TV. And all of these horrible matches are leading to them having another match! Who could possibly, after seeing these two guys have these matches, want to see them wrestle again? I can't even imagine it.
Well, we just need to fill the gap for a little bit till Gunner's ready.
They did a spot on Thursday where Rob Van Dam was doing a Rolling Thunder, and Mr. Anderson tripped him. I don't know if Mr. Anderson forgot the spot. This could not possibly have been the planned spot because they both look like complete clumsy numbskulls. And as it happened, Taz says, "Way to screw up the Rolling Thunder." Probably because he assumed, since this was taped 2 weeks ago, that you could just edit that screw up off the show. Well, they didn't. It aired. Just a horrendous. The last 15 minutes of Impact. I didn't think that Impact was as bad as it was the week before. Impact 2 weeks ago was a horrific show. Just a absolutely horrible show with 9 minutes of wrestling in 2 hours. And the rest was talking and bad angles. And I thought that this week's show was better, which is not saying much, quite frankly.
No, it's not.
But it was better until the last 15 minutes. That was such a god-awful 15 minutes of television. I could not even believe it. And I've seen a lot with TNA.
You know what I want to know from people, too? The fact that when they have the 20-minute opening segment, which goes into commercial, and what they do of the interview that stops and then picks up right where you left off, what a break in flow that is. I can't be the only one where it's like, you could not start that show out. To me, the only thing that is worse than 15 minutes of talking, in most cases, and I'm not saying all, but in most cases, is to then throw it to break the flow for 3 minutes of commercials before coming back. Drives me nuts.
Coming back for more talking.
Yeah, coming back for, and just, yeah, ah, man, God. I just don't understand. And, you know, nobody else can either, and I don't know what they, again, the 1.1 and 1.2 is that they get this every single week, so it's working for somebody. It's just too bad for them. Those people don't buy the pay-per-views, which that was the other thing about 2 weeks ago. That was the pay-per-view build.
You know, it kind of does make me a little bit sad because I have been getting some emails lately from diehard TNA fans that they've finally seen enough. And some of them are people that used to write me letters and they were really mad about some of the things that I said about TNA. And now those same people are writing back just going, man, you know, I just, that pay-per-view really, that was a disastrous pay-per-view for TNA. Because, granted, not a lot of people saw it. You know, that's good, really. But at the same time, the people that actually bought that pay-per-view and they were served up that cold dish, you know, that's like your most hardcore loyal fans that you gave such an awful show to, that you just didn't care about it. I mean, you admitted, this is a pay-per-view that is building up next month's pay-per-view. Nothing is being settled. There were some horrendous, awful, horrific matches. There was a disaster of a main event. This is what you served up to your most loyal, die hard, hardcore fans. And it's kind of sad that they finally found a way to turn some of those people.
And that's, you know, the 300 hours of on-demand or whatever they gave away free for it. I mean, my God. And you know what? It's okay for
pay-per-views. Yeah, that's a comedy. This show was so bad, we're going to give you more free. At least there's some good stuff on demand.
And there's ups and downs to pay-per-views where, you know, you are going to have months where it leads to other months. And that would be okay. But that's when you just throw out a bunch of guys in matches that are at least really good. And they just, again, all that talent there. And it's just, it is. It, you bang your head against the wall if you're even still paying attention. And it's too bad.
Let's jump into more Mania predictions, unless you've got more to say about Impact.
No, not at all.
This is from the Peach Machine. Santino will run in and screw Alberto Del Rio out of the title as revenge for the Rumble. And Triple H will lose via quad tear.
That sounds like something Peach Machine would predict. And yeah. You know what? Peach Machine could actually rip Triple H's quad off, so I'll agree.
Somehow I don't see Santino involved in the Alberto Del Rio match, but hey.
Hey, how about Cody for after WrestleMania? Maybe he defeats Mysterio and somehow and then complains about the fact he was screwed out of being in the Royal Rumble. Maybe via injury, wasn't it?
Via injury, yeah.
More Cody and more Dusty, too.
Del Rio over Edge, says DJ, no matter whether or not Christian is added. Cena beats Miz. Taker beats Hunter. Big Show, Kane, and whoever their partners are over the core. Morrison, Trish, and the Jersey Shore girl over Lay Cool and Vicky. Punk over Orton. Lawler beats the piss out of Cole. Sheamus over Bryan. Rhodes over Mysterio. And The Rock is going to lay out Cena, who will in turn lay out The Rock the next day on Raw.
You know, I know they don't do wrestlings, and they do entertainments. But it's amazing that the Lawler match is the one that the result shouldn't be in doubt. Don't screw this up. Just do what you're supposed to do and have Lawler kick the crap out of him and win the match. You know, I don't bloody him up anything, even though it's probably not going to happen. Just do that. And the thing is, that result to that's what everyone's thinking is going to happen, and that's not in doubt. And that's still the thing most people, well, not most people, but a lot of people are looking forward to the most.
Well, I think that Lawler should pile drive him and beat him.
Oh, guaranteed.
Well, not guaranteed, because if this is their first match, this is not like a blow off of a feud. I mean, it could be, but if this is like their first match and they're building for a second match, then really it makes sense for Cole to win. And then Lawler goes for revenge and we get some stipulations. Perhaps, you know, there were people talking about stipulations perhaps involving Jim Ross, and obviously that's not happening at WrestleMania unless they add it tomorrow. But, you know, maybe you do some sort of screw job finish and Jerry Lawler gets beat and then he challenges him for backlash. And this time, you know, Cole doesn't want the rematch, but you figure out some sort of deal and you add these stipulations and then Lawler beats him there. With that said, to me, even if you do continue the feud, I think you continue the feud by having Jerry Lawler win this match with a pile driver, and then Cole comes back as a crazy man in a neck brace. And you can get more heat on Lawler in different ways, but I would have Lawler pile drive him. But I can see the mindset from WWE of, well, you know, we're doing a second match. Lawler's going to win, so we'll have Cole screw him here.
I guess I didn't really think of them, and I guess because I don't really necessarily want to see them do a second match. I'd rather just see him, you know, get pile driven, and then he can come back with, you know, an army of coal miners and all that sort of stuff. Because it, again, can't go back to the broadcast booth. Don't think even after this mistweet of his that would really be a dumb idea too. So. I don't know. I don't want to see them do it again. But if they are going to do that again, I don't think it would hurt my feelings altogether too much. But I don't know how much more. I guess you can get, because of Waller, you can get a lot out of this for a while. But I just don't want them to. There's plenty of other guys there that probably should be more in the mix than your 61-year-old announcer. God bless him. Even though he's awesome, still. You know, it is 2011 here. And, you know, announcer doing Andy Kaufman redo is, yeah, just kind of ludicrous.
Pingu from the board. picks for this year's Mania winners: John Cena, Edge. That's an interesting one. Sheamus, Randy Orton, Jerry Lawler, Cody Rhodes, and Snooki's team.
Team Snooki.
Team Snooki. Who, by the way, shot an angle that you'll see on Raw tomorrow at a bar with Laycool, where she showed up 4 hours late and drunk.
Which, for anyone that had ever seen the show, should not come as a shock to anyone.
No. She thinks she's going to become a diva after this. Good luck with that.
What was the last crazy woman they had?
The last crazy woman?
Tiffany. That's right. Yeah. You know.
By the way,
I don't think maybe Snooki could end up like Tiffany, but I don't think you want any high drama girls, no matter, you know, just probably not a good idea right now.
This has nothing to do with anything, but last night after UFC, we went to a place called The Ram in Northgate for food, and I swear our server was Tiffany of ECW. Looked exactly like her. Dead ringer.
The Ram sounds like it'd be a gentleman's club or something like that.
And she screwed up my order, so that adds to the possibility that it was Tiffany.
Did you tip?
Oh, I gave her a no. This person here says, any chance that Jerry Lawler throws a fireball at Michael Cole at WrestleMania? No.
Here, you know, flash paper versus the blade. You know, I can't see it happening.
I don't see them playing with fire.
I know. I just, you know, again, you know, just it won't happen. And they don't. And again, there's ways to work around it. You don't need to do blood. But just thinking back to the, you know, olden days of what this feud should be. I mean, Michael Cole should be a beaten, bloody mess.
We're going to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to rush through these predictions. We got a lot of them. We're going to try and get them all in. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Lots of places to head to. WrestlingObserver.com is our website. Free radio shows up there right now. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. Check them out. They're MP3s. Just click the link. They'll download. There are no pop-ups. There's no wackiness. Just download the shows. Listen to them. If you like them, we do 15 to 20 of those every single week. If you sign up, it's only $10.99 per month. That's lunch. That's lunch for one day, everybody. $10.99 a month. You not only get all of the brand new shows we do, but you get every single show we've ever done dating back to 2005. That's a lot of radio to download while you're at work, while you're at the gym, while you're having a commute in the morning. That's a place to go for wrestling audio, WrestlingObserver.com. Also, check out our Facebook, our official Facebook page, Facebook.com. You can check out Facebook.com/Brian Alvarez. That's my personal page. And also the Wrestling Observer Live official Facebook page. Become a fan of that. Check it out. It's up there right now. Let's get into some of these WrestleMania predictions. Mike, this person says, Evan Bourne wins a pre-show battle royal. He predicts the Snooki team wins when Snooki pins Layla. Everybody expects Layla to get pinned here. Daniel Bryan beats Sheamus via disqualification. Wasn't expecting that. Ray over Cody. Lawler over Cole via DQ when Swagger runs in. That I don't think is a good idea. Although if they're setting up another match, I guess you could do that. Orton versus Punk. Orton wins via pinfall. Alberto wins the title. When Christian costs Edge the match. Cena beats Miz, has a brawl with The Rock. Undertaker beats Triple H. There you go. What do you think about Christian costing Edge the match?
You know, it wouldn't be all that bad of an idea. I mean, because if Del Rio wins, then you obviously have he and Christian afterwards, you know, all set and ready to go for the title. But, you know, you could do Edge and Christian breaking up again. You know, they would definitely live up to their end of the deal. It's just, okay, then... Who would it be? Big Show? Who is it going to be for Alberto Del Rio then coming out of this?
That would
be the only thing that would make me wonder about, you know, Christian turning on Edge, and you do that right away. It just, I don't know.
We've got Chris here, says Cena versus Miz will be the surprise match of the night. That would be a surprise, to me at least. And Triple H Undertaker will feature some accidental blood.
again, if it's going to happen in any match where it's quote-unquote accidental, that would be a good one to do it in.
This is quite the going out on a limb prediction here from John. Triple H wins, streak over, Taker retires. He is working on threads, 2 more years, not doable. New WWE boss Triple H is a right one to end the streak. Everyone expects to end at 20, not happening. Shock value and Undertaker is done. I worry about him continuing at all. Lawler wins, of course, in a McMahon heart squash. Brutal. Miz over Cena, interference by Rock. And he says, who cares about the rest? Same old, same old. What do you think the chances are? If you had to give your odds on Triple H breaking the streak, Mike, what would you say they would be?
Zero. Zero. Because, I mean, one of the things, I mean, it hasn't even been, they've done a good job with the videos and obviously talking to Jim Ross and to Harley Race and all that stuff. I mean, you know, that's been good, but you've seen the destruction of DiBiase and Shane. I mean, they've had to push to get it where it needs to be, you know, and still they didn't. It was just because of the timing of him coming back. They didn't give it enough time. So I don't think either guy, yeah, they could do it, but it wouldn't make enough sense for either guy. I mean, have a year-long build going into next WrestleMania. I mean, and again, with The Undertaker, too. If you just bring The Undertaker out every year at WrestleMania, I don't think people would care. Obviously, people want to see him all the time, but he is, you know, that much older. He doesn't have to be back. It just, there's no way I could see them doing it because, again, you're not getting your maximum out of it. I mean, wait till next year's WrestleMania. Tease, you know, hits and little teases all year, and then do it next year if you wanted to do that, do career versus streak or something like that. But, again, I don't think they'd be maximizing enough out of it.
All righty. This person here says Daniel Bryan beats Sheamus with a LaBelle Lock reversal of the high cross. He's got some very specific predictions here. Eve wins some yet unannounced Divas title match against both Bellas. We've got the Big Show team beating the Core team, the Morrison team beating the Ziggler team. Vicky gets involved and slapped by Snooki during some failed distraction. I think that's pretty much guaranteed. Jerry Lawler will defeat Michael Cole with a punch. Swagger will interfere and eat a pile driver for it. And then Swagger eats a stunner and Cole might as well. Orton beats Punk. Alberto Del Rio fulfills his destiny. Cena continues his Mania track record of winning the title. Defeat The Miz. Might still get laid out by The Rock. And Undertaker beats Triple H 25 minutes. Okay, but not nearly as good as Undertaker's last two matches with Michael. Well, that's pretty much guaranteed, I would think.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A little bit more methodical, maybe.
This person predicts that every single babyface will win, except Daniel Bryan and Edge. He thinks that Bryan and Sheamus will be the opener, get maybe 7 minutes, because they need to cut time due to the Rock segments. Actually, Mania is 4 hours this year, so there should be plenty of time. It's 4 hours every year, I think, but plenty of time this year for Rock segments. And he says, I can't see Orton losing, Cena losing, Undertaker losing, Lawler losing, Ray losing, or the Morrison, Trish, and Snooki team losing. Actually, I can see several of those guys losing, but you might be right, Matthew. This person is from Joe. Sheamus wins and retains the title. Punk wins. Mysterio wins. Lawler wins. Del Rio wins the title. Cena wins the title. And he writes, obviously, he always wins. And then Undertaker wins again. Some people seem to be down on the idea of the streak continuing, I've noticed. That's interesting.
People thinking it's got to end at some point, which, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to. It really doesn't. You better pray, but although Triple H is the guy, he's one of the few guys you can actually realistically see him stopping it, because he's going to be there for life, and that's one thing where, if you're going to end a streak like that, it can't be Drew McIntyre, anybody that may leave or have some sort of issue. It better be somebody that, you know, when they replay it on DVDs of why did he lose, you better be able to play those forever.
This person here, Darren, has a lot of interesting predictions. Predicts Cena wins, and the finish with Rock is the old heels run back in, former enemies gain respect for one another angle. What do you think about that one?
that the Rock and Miz.
No, Rock and Cena team up and run off the bad guys.
Oh, well, that would actually be the smartest move, you'd think, from the, you know, from just how WrestleMania should probably go, of the Rock has bashed John Cena badly, he's made him look like a punk, and all of this stuff, where, yeah, at the end, you want the Rock and Cena to be, you know, arm-in-arm in the ring sort of thing. It just, will that be corny? Yes, but it does actually make the most sense. The thing is, I don't know. I don't know. The Miz should have been a better part of this. I wish they could have been able to string this thing together a little bit better than how it's turned out.
This person here is predicting actually, there's more from him. Del Rio wins, perhaps with Christian turning. Lawler wins. Undertaker beats Triple H, of course. CM Punk wins. Morrison and Snooki. Cody Rhodes. He wonders if the Cody Rhodes deal with the broken face could lead to an angle with no face Sin Cara, because Rey is involved.
Well, and that's, you know, and this isn't, the thing is, too, until Sin Cara is ready, I know people have pegged him on Raw, but it doesn't necessarily mean he has to go there. This isn't mask versus anything, mask versus, you know, face mask yet, so I can see dirtiness out of Cody Rhodes, even, you know, again, he ripped the mask off once, maybe he does it again, or there's something else where, you know, next month they do that match or something like that, and then maybe the possibility of Sin Cara jumping is in, you know, is in there. So that would not be a bad idea.
I know Vince doesn't like tag teams, but you know what? I was just thinking about this. If they want to get Sin Cara on the main roster fast, and they want to not expose him or anything like that, then have Cody lose to Rey and then beat him up afterwards, threaten to unmask him. Sin Cara runs down to make the save, and you do a Rey Mysterio Sin Cara tag team of the veteran and his young protege, and you get them in there doing tag matches with a competent team everywhere. And that's the fastest way to teach Sin Cara and get him up to speed. And you can hide him in a tag match if there are problems early on. You can give him spots to sell. You can give him spots to shine. I mean, that to me is the fastest way to bring him up to speed. You get him and Rey against who would be a good team that is not a disaster right now. You need two good workers in there. Even if you, I don't know. Who could you have in there?
They'd have to be bad guys. Say you put somebody, you put Alex Kozlov under a mask and team up with Daniel Bryan or something, because that would actually be the best way to go. But again, that's the problem: is who would you put him in there against?
Actually, if you did Rey and Sin Cara against Alberto Del Rio and Cody Rhodes in tag matches, run that match around the loop for 3 months, and Sin Cara will be up to speed.
Okay, because of the way he's actually, his technique, and the fact that is usually very good, Ted DiBiase gets stumped by Maurice. He's not doing anything anyway. He ends up on SmackDown, and then it's Cody Rhodes and DiBiase again.
Sure, that would be fine. All right, this person says 800,000 plus overall buys.
For what?
WrestleMania.
How many?
800,000. I guess that's worldwide. And might be pushing it. But not a terrible prediction by any means. Neither Cena nor Rock will turn heel, and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk will both win. All right. This person here says, Jared, I predict the Edge-Alberto Del Rio match dies a death with the live crowd, on par with Triple H Orton a couple of years ago. I don't think Del Rio is over enough as a heel or Edge is over enough as a face for the crowd to care at all about Alberto taking the title from Edge. I see the crowd sitting on their hands as Alberto is crowned. I think you are desperately underrating Edge's ability to get the crowd into his matches on the big stage. I think you will be very, very surprised if that is your prediction there.
I wonder how long that match will actually go, too.
I think they're going to get a fair amount of time, and I think it's going to be a very good match, and I think the people are going to be very much into it, unless it's put in a death spot on the show, which, you know, I think if you're expecting nobody to care about that match, you'll be surprised. Let's just put it that way. This person thinks Sheamus and Daniel Bryan will steal the show with a match reminiscent of Steamboat Savage at Mania 3. I don't know about that one.
A lot of Sheamus fans in that case, then.
Levi here, buy rate 750 worldwide, probably a, a fair estimate, maybe a little high. No clue about Miz versus Cena, but it ends with Rock and Cena having a handshake. Cena walks, but Rock pulls him back, and Rock bottoms him. Also predicts Punk over Orton, Snooki and her crew win, Cody beats Ray, Sheamus retains, Core gets beat, Taker beats Hunter, and Del Rio wins. A lot of people expecting Del Rio to win. We shall see about that one. Joe here, three quick predictions. Miz retains after Rock interferes, so Miz retains the title. Punk over Orton, and Christian turns on Edge, costs him the championship. Dazza here. Nothing will be done to push new guys to the main event level. That's his entire prediction. See about that one. Renee here. I don't have time to read all of these, but Edge wins, Cena wins, Taker wins. Perhaps Jealousy's HBK super kick. Sean is expected to be at ringside for that match, by the way. And apparently a run-in heavy show based on his predictions. We got to head to a break. We'll do a couple more when we come back. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Radio Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, Mike Sempervivi, WrestlingObserver.com, and before we do a couple final Mania predictions, Mike, Jericho on Dancing with the Stars, does he have a prayer?
He's got a prayer to last for a little while, just because of the fact that he's got a lot of charisma and people will like him and wrestling fans may vote for him and save him, but probably not going to win the thing, no.
Final Mania predictions here very quickly. This person says he may be way off, but Cole wins, gets stunned by Austin, pile driven by Lawler. Later in the show, Miz gets beaten by Cena for the title. Cole comes out in neck brace, tells Miz he's disappointed, orders Swagger to kick Miz's ass. Riley joins in. Cena comes back and rescues Miz, turning Miz babyface. Is he crazy?
I like that idea a lot more than using, you know, The Rock. Because here's the thing with The Rock laying out John Cena, no matter what happens, you got a long time before Cena gets any revenge, possibly at all, and he's looked kind of wussy in this, the whole thing, as it's, you know, been anyway. So, I take that idea over that one. I don't think it'll happen, but...
And last one very quickly from Patrick. I hope they do a Piper's Pit with Cena and Rock. They could actually do that on Raw tomorrow, because Piper has pitched it. We'll see if they go for it, but they could do this before the match with Miz laying out Piper. Cena tries to make the save. Miz pushes him into Rock. Match starts, they do their stuff, ref bumps, Cena FUs Miz, Rock no-sells the pin, lays out Cena, gives Miz the win. Rock lays out Miz afterwards as well. That's a possibility, and then they can do something on Raw the next evening.
Cole as the new Kaufman, you got, you know, The Rock being from Hollywood, The Miz is Hollywood, we get an all I'm from Hollywood unit all over again.
I still am predicting that on Raw tomorrow, Cole beats Eve to become the Intergender Champion. They got to do it.
Awesome Kong is his bodyguard.
That's a good one as well. Guys, we are all out of time. Next week is WrestleMania. Follow the Facebook page, the Wrestling Observer Live Facebook, for an update on the show next week. I'll be in Atlanta. Might be hard to do a show, so I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out. Until then, check out WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.